Republican battled Congressman Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz was one of the very few members in the entire Congress who bothered to stand up against permanent Washington on behalf of his constituents.
Matt Gaetz right now, he's a problem for the Democratic Party, and he can cause a lot of hiccups in passing of laws. So we're going to keep running those stories to keep hurting him.
If you stand for the flag and kneel in prayer, if you want to build America up and not burn her to the ground, then welcome, my fellow patriots. You are in the right place. This is the movement for you.
You ever watch this guy on television? It's like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
I'm a canceled man in some corners of the internet. Many days I'm a marked man in Congress, a wanted man by the deep state.
They aren't really coming for me. They're coming for you. I'm just in the way.
Today's episode is jam-packed. I've got a terrific report from the Arizona-Mexico border with Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb. You're not going to believe the tactics and strategies that smugglers are using to penetrate our border, to abuse our system of asylum, and really to reshape America in a very negative way. So I'm going to have that report from Sheriff Lamb. It's just the beginning in a series of reports that we're going to start sharing from the southern border. If we do not solve the southern border issue, if we do not engage in internal enforcement of our immigration laws, we will lose America. This must be a focus of Republicans in Washington. We've also got reports from the front line of the culture war, the latest what's going on in Washington, D.C. And we even check in on a Democrat who is throwing some shade at Adam Schiff, a California Democrat. You won't want to miss it. But first, definitely want to thank all of our viewers. This is our 32nd episode, 17.5 million combined downloads and views, and we are grateful for each and every one of them. The show is going to be updating. We're going to be bringing you more content. We're going to be bringing you live content. And the best way to experience that, make sure you have your notifications turned on and you're subscribed. Now, you've got tens of thousands of folks who choose to listen to the show rather than watch it. You're going to miss out if you don't have YouTube or Rumble or Facebook Live or Twitter notifications turned on, because it's going to be absolutely terrific. This brings us to the Congress. And what's happening? It's all about gas prices. Now, Kevin McCarthy is the current minority leader. There are times on this program where I've been a critic of his, where others have criticized some of the decisions he's made, but he has been dead on gas prices. All over America, we're seeing the impacts of inflation realized through energy. And it's not just at the pump where you see that inflation as a problem. You know, gas prices affect your consumer goods. They affect the services that you use. They affect even the food you eat when it comes to the costs that are built in. At the very beginning of the Biden presidency, Kevin McCarthy signposted that this was going to be an issue, that there were going to be a series of policy choices that Joe Biden was committed to, that his executive agencies would execute, that would really harm America. Here's the minority leader.
Go and look at what the price of oil is today and what you pay for in gasoline. I promise you, a year from now, the action of what this president has done has only increased it. The affordability is going to go through the roof.
Remember, gas price today, national gas price, has not been this high since President Biden was vice president.
The policies of Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden are destroying this nation. We got gasoline lines, we got stations that have no gas, we got gasoline in Virginia $7 a gallon.
6 months of Biden administration, we have the highest gas prices in 7 years. After his policies caused gas prices to skyrocket, he said he would lower the gas price. He hasn't done it, he's even made it worse. And no, not the measly 2 cents, the DCCC thanks is lowering it, is a reduction. He depleted 50 million barrels of oil from our emergency supply and has done nothing to reverse this anti-American energy agenda that he has contributed to spike our costs.
Got to give the guy his due. He was absolutely right on that front. And we all know Kevin McCarthy wants to be Speaker of the House. And if he ultimately becomes Speaker, which I think is not a certainty, we've got to go through a series of elections before then, his leadership on the issue of energy will be one reason why. Leah Thomas, the record-breaking women swimmer, I guess. Not really. It's kind of grotesque, if you think about it, that the NCAA, would be willing to wipe away all of the generational gains that have been made in women's sports following Title IX, following equitable allocation of resources, with this ridiculous embrace of wokeism at the expense of female athletes. And the frustration is palpable. More and more women who are using athletics for self-betterment, for an education, for achievement, for success, are resenting the fact that you've got Leah Thomas, clearly someone who shouldn't be competing in women's swimming, out there doing just that. Rapid Fire Pod caught up with a Virginia Tech swimmer who had had enough. Check out that great interview.
It's a common conception that we are all very disappointed and frustrated with someone who has capabilities more than us women have to be able to compete at this level and take opportunities away from other women. Like, I have a teammate who did not make finals today because she was just bumped out of finals. And it's heartbreaking to see someone who went through puberty as a male and has the body of a male be able to absolutely blow away the competition. And you go into it with a mindset that you don't have a chance. If that makes sense. Like, it's hard to compete against someone with the aerobic capacity, the muscle development, the body of a man. It's hard. It's hard to think about it like that. And staying positive, I bet, for other swimmers who are in that heat is probably overwhelming. I'm not sure. I can't speak for them, but it's disappointing to see and frustrating, definitely.
And you said that one of your teammates was crying today because she didn't make the finals. You said that she was 17th,
yes.
And there were 16 spots.
Yes.
So Leah Thomas took one of those spots. Yes. Talk to us about what your teammate was going through and that experience.
She was very emotional, and it's hard to see because it's her last NCAAs, and she really loves that race, and it was just heartbreaking to see that she put all her effort into it today and went a best time that she's went in a morning session before and still not make it back. It's hard to see someone who works every day, every night, still not be able to compete against someone like that.
This is why I'm against women in the draft and why I'm against men competing in women's sports, because obviously men and women are different. For too long, we've tried to pretend like men and women are the same, but biblically, that's false. From just a biology standpoint, that's false. From a capacity and capability standpoint, that's false. And I'm not asserting supremacy for one gender or the other, but certainly when it comes to the type of physical education and physical competition that you get from swimming, the Virginia Tech swimmer was absolutely right. So it may be impolitic, it may not go along with sort of the political correctness of the times, but I have no problem recognizing that men and women are different. That's okay. Our policies should not be blind to that obvious reality. I do think that if the NCAA continues to just engage in this bizarre behavior of embracing wokeism at the expense of their own athletes, you may see congressional action. You're already starting to see more and more state action, and it's my suspicion that that is unidirectional. You are not going to see some new transition back to an effort to blur gender lines. I think that folks are catching up. I think folks want to see the realities that we live with, certainly not evaporated at the expense of the vulnerable and at the expense of those that we've done a whole lot over the years in jurisprudence and in law to assist. We see in the war in Ukraine that the information space is an increasingly important theater in conflict. You have never seen before folks tweeting through wars or Skyping and FaceTiming through conflict like we do today. And there is a focus in the Congress to ensure that the United States, that our allies, that we win the information space. Now, Russia has a media arm, has a propaganda wing referred to as RT, or Russia Today. And what they're trying to do in places where they're engaging in resource extraction and political activity is to try to get distribution for RT in places like South America, in places like Africa, and then to try to use that information space to try to shape people's opinion and perhaps even engage in malign activity. Well, Congresswoman Jackie Speier, Democrat from California, is on to them. She understood at a recent hearing that we had with the leadership from AFRICOM that in Africa specifically, growing distribution and growing credibility for RT is a harm to America. It deprives us of access to our interests and our ability to try to spread neoliberal values, democracy, not through the sword, but through high-quality information so that people can make reasonable decisions. And what Congresswoman Speier is most worried about is that RT may be gaining credibility. Well, take a listen to her argument.
Our committee has to take very seriously the impact of RT around the world. I just came back from Latin America, where not only is it pervasive and ubiquitous, it is perceived to be objective. It is perceived to be just a legitimate TV network. And
General, lady's time has expired. She makes an outstanding point, however, on the need to engage more
back
in the information warfare.
I was quite taken. Here was my reaction.
I completely concur with my colleague regarding the risk that RT poses, and it seems to appear more legitimate and objective when members of Congress go on RT. And so I associate myself with the gentlelady's comments, and perhaps she could share them with the gentleman from California who chairs the Intelligence Committee, who I've seen on RT talking about legislation, giving him credibility. Ms. Baker,
will the gentleman yield?
I only have a few moments, but I'd love to chat with you about it further.
And of course, we couldn't close this segment without giving you the proof, without showing you the receipts. Adam Schiff going on RT to try to make a political point about legislation.
Meanwhile, on the other side of Capitol Hill in the House of Representatives, efforts continue there as well to inject more oversight into the NSA's surveillance programs and the top secret FISA court. One of those members of Congress leading the effort is Adam Schiff from California. He joined me earlier, and I asked him how his reforms to the FISA court will protect America's First and Fourth Amendment rights.
Well, I think they'll have the cumulative impact of making the FISA court much more transparent so the American people can understand what's being done in their name, in the name of national security, so that we can have a more informed debate over the balance between privacy and security. I think this can be accomplished while also maintaining sources and methods and not compromising some of the very real national security concerns at stake.
Giving them credibility, tisk tisk. Maybe Jackie Speier ought to reach out to Adam Schiff and tell him to actually be pro-America for once. It's quite fascinating to me that politicians in both parties act like they care about your rising gas prices, your rising grocery bill, your rising costs for food. But the reality is they continue to vote for policies in Washington, D.C. that actually exacerbate inflation and the increase of those very costs. It's one of the reasons why I'm voting with my constituents on any issues that would result in them having to endure more cost for the Russia-Ukraine war than the people who have actually prosecuted that war, than Vladimir Putin, who is at fault for that war. So I didn't vote with a majority of the Congress recently when they voted to end trade relations under our current system with Russia and Belarus. I was joined by seven other members of Congress: Lauren Boebert, Thomas Massey, Andy Biggs, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Dan Bishop, Chip Roy, and Glenn Grothman. And I thought Thomas Massey had a particularly important take. He tweeted, "This was slipped into the Russian sanctions bill on pages 19, 20, and 21. It gives the president broad authority to sanction virtually anyone, anywhere in the world, whether they are connected to Russia or not. Interventionists at the State Department are doing the happy dance now." And Congressman Massey is right. So often these bills, they get labeled, oh, this is the Russia sanctions bill, so if you don't vote for it, you must be pro-Russia, you must be pro-Putin. I remember hearing that back during the Russia hoax impeachment. The reality is, representatives have to read the legislation. We have to ask tough questions, and we have to look at the second and third order effects. And here, the legislation gives this broad discretion to Joe Biden to just, like, hammer anyone in the world that he would deem a human rights violator for any reason. And what does that even mean anymore? Increasingly, our own State Department is more worried about whether or not other countries embrace wokeism than whether or not they're actually acting in the best interest of America, of Americans, of American businesses, you know, to enrich our country, not theirs. It's really unfortunate. Congressman Andy Biggs was one of the members who also voted no. I thought he gave a terrific explanation. Take a listen.
What this bill did if you read it and understood it, it actually allows our president to go to almost anybody in the world, and if they have a visa, he could take away their visa, he could freeze their assets, regardless of whether they have anything to do with Russia whatsoever. He gets to define what a human rights abuse is, and he gets to go after anybody he thinks might be committing some kind of human rights abuse. Now, we might say, well, that's what's happening in Russia, sure. But it also has been used, or could be used, even on people who are pro-life advocates elsewhere in the world. If Biden thinks that pro-abortion is a human right, and a pro-life person is violating somebody's right to an abortion. That's why I voted no. Why is it that Democrats always take an idea that most Americans support, and then they stick it in with a couple of pieces of garbage to give themselves more power? That's why I voted no.
And that is exactly where I should be for Northwest Floridians on these issues. I'm going to be bringing a series of segments forward regarding the crisis on our southern border. Our laws contribute to it. Our lack of will contributes to it. Our political leadership truly ignoring something that is affecting all Americans. It's affecting the wage market. It's affecting labor. It's affecting our social service system. It's affecting our education system. It's affecting our criminal justice system. It's affecting our national security. And increasingly, as the federal government doesn't do its job, more and more pressure is building on state governments and even local sheriffs to have to deal with this national crisis. One of America's best sheriffs is Mark Lamb of Pinal County. He recently gave us an exclusive briefing regarding the tools that the smugglers are using, that the cartels are employing, and the things we ought to be doing in Washington to stop this terrible violation of our country. Take a listen from the southern border.
This is the heart of the activity in this county right here, this corridor right here.
Because it's the end of the TO pipeline?
Yeah, because the TO is 5 miles from there. It's where they travel through that Indian reservation to get to this point in that highway, and the I-10 in South Phoenix, it's all right here. So this is the perfect corridor to go there. I'm sure he's told you the problem. It's 10 times worse today than it was 5 years ago.
I'll show you when we get over to the other side outside of this, but you're gonna be shocked because I can show you 100 more spots like this. When you hear me talk about carpet shoes,
yeah,
these are carpet shoes. So what you do is they put them on over their boots and they tie them up and they walk across with these because you can't hear them and you can't track them. They wear camouflage clothes. Be careful picking anything up. The one at the nasty too. There's snakes. So they have their clothes in here. They dump their clothes, their plastic bags. They all have like, usually they'll have penicillin or some type of antibiotic. They'll have Vicks Vapor Rub, toilet paper. So this is the remnants of what used to be a backpack of marijuana. So what they'll do is, this is their backpack. They'll have two sleeves and a strap. They'll tie two 25 pound bundles in here. So you'll have 50 pounds of marijuana. And that's how they carry the pack. Like that's the backpack. What they do a lot of times is they bring the coyote now because of the hard drugs. It used to be that they all carried marijuana. But now what they do is the hard drugs, the coyote will bring the hard drugs. And if we end up catching them, they all run and they make sure that they get caught before the coyote gets caught. We had a guy that we caught one day and he started booking it. He ran for 5 miles through this desert, full speed. And so make no mistake, they have zero value for human life. They're trafficking poison. That fentanyl is poison into our communities. I never thought about it that way. The left likes to do things. They like to play on emotions and use certain words. And we should be using words like, these are poisonings.
Yes.
This is immoral, what they're doing.
You're right, so, they call it overdoses, and they're not overdoses.
Eight of 10 women.
You don't even know what you're taking.
I heard a stat the other day that says 8 of 10 women that cross over the border are raped, and 50% of gays and transvestites who cross the border are raped.
What kind of self-help do the landowners have? Like in Florida, if someone comes on your property with the intent to commit a felony, you have a right to use force against them and lethal force.
Like, and these guys go out every night, they go out with guns to feed their horses because they're afraid, and they often do run into people out there.
But like, do they have any remedy? Like, can you tell people they have to get off the property?
I always just tell people, look, if you can tell me that you felt in fear of your own life, of serious physical injury or death, then you can use physical force, or deadly force.
So, I wasn't kidding, like, they'll come in with a Suburban like yours, or a SUV like you got, they'll take out all the seats, and they'll throw in 20, 25 people, just like cordwood. And they'll have a 17, 18 year old driver go through there. And occasionally they get nervous, they run into something and they all get killed or maimed.
And the obvious question is, well, gee, Sheriff, if you know where all these places are, well, why don't you have somebody out here to get him? And his answer would be, there are 100 of these.
Yeah.
You know, and
they've got, I think he's got 6 guys on his staff. Cochise County has 4 guys or something like that on their staff that are designed for interdiction of the illegal.
I had live PD with me one night, and I followed a car back there, and guy gets out of the car. I didn't have a reason to stop him, so I just got out and made contact with him, and I started speaking Spanish to him, and he was looking at me like I'm speaking Chinese. So I said, do you speak Spanish? I said that in Spanish. He said, no. And I said, do you speak English? He's like, yeah. And I go, where are you from? And he says, I'm from Bahrain. So what is the guy doing at the first house you'd get to from Bahrain in the middle of the desert? Easily, they could be bringing Middle Easterners up, drop them off there, and then putting them into our communities. So. And then if we catch them in the car, it's very hard, because if they all say it's not mine, you can maybe charge the person. If it's at their feet, you can charge that person. You can't charge everybody in the car.
That's what they say on...
You can't even charge the driver, because the driver's going to say, well, I didn't know it was back there. This guy must have put it in here.
I thought that only worked on that Bad Boys cop show. Where they
you know where else it works? In the courts of liberal judges and liberal prosecutors. That's where else it works.
It's always good seeing you.
Keep up.
Likewise, man.
Congrats on the marriage, man.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us on Firebrand. We need you engaged and active. That's why you've got to make sure you're subscribed with notifications turned on, because you know what? The fight rages on. We need you in it. We need you with us.